Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, assalamu alaikum. This is Imam Wali Ayub Bilal, the Halal Industry Do For Self. And as always, I like to begin with Allah's name, the Merciful Benefactor, the Merciful Redeemer. Thanking you, the listener, whether you're hearing this now, whether you hear it at another time, for taking the time and sharing with us what we're thinking and trying to bring it to our people. What people are there? Starting off, the Muslims. The African-American descendants of slaves are the first to bring this to. Are we leaving out other Muslims? No, but they don't really, may not. I shouldn't say they don't. I am not Allah. I don't see any heads. But if we wait for others, we'll be still where we're at right now. We need something in our community. Our people own, our children growing up recognizing ownership of industrious life, mm-hmm. of life that we bring food and market right from our own community to our own community. Others are welcome. We want to establish the model community. We want to establish economics. And we is not just those few that's with me. On a regular basis, that's us across the country. We have to revert back to the thinking that we had in the days of the nation. Mm. And I know some of you have left that because you can't explain it. People have made some of us ashamed, as if we got Islam the wrong way. I tell you, you better listen. Mm. And I'm not talking to me. Listen to Allah. Nothing happens without Allah. 1930, a man that was born 1897 and only had a third grade education. Excuse me. Third grade education. Heard a man at the request of his wife after she visited the temple that they had of those times, which was not the Honorable Elijah Muhammad's temples. These were places that Brad Muhammad would speak himself to our people, searching for someone that can receive the message to do something for themselves. From the stories that I've gotten over the many years, including one with Imam Muhammad saying it, Brad Muhammad was reacting to the country problem where he came from, and he was wanting to teach the people in America. Slaves, those of us, our foreparents, what took place and give us a way out, and that way out was Islam. Now, I pray for Farad Muhammad like I pray for Donald Elijah Muhammad, Imam Muhammad, my mother, my father, all of them. Some people, you know, we waste time because we don't like some or don't understand something, condemn something. If you're a Muslim, I mean, I don't understand Christians condemning Islam or Islam condemning Christianity or Judaism. When Allah says clearly to us, especially in the Quran, very clear, that he established the message for all three of those groups. And he will continue to send messages to people to wake us up to his message, to be the design or the model of how we should get a better life, better, conditions from the life that he gave us. When we look at how many years we've been here in America, most of us, we don't feel that. Maybe Sanchez or whatever his name is down there. Yeah, Sanchez, right, down in Florida.
Oh, yeah, Sanchez,
governor. Governor, yeah. Maybe he, in his understanding, not being one of us, maybe he intentionally and sincerely a suggestion that he think would really work. Maybe it has no racial intent, no slowing down. If we just looked at things, putting them on the best platform. Maybe he said nobody need to know what took place. No, our people need to know. so they can see the design that Allah, God, the Creator, has laid out for us. And every people should see the design that's laid out for them. For us, I say, this is our day, the African-American descendants of slaves. We've had enough messaging in the different faiths. And those of us that are Muslim, we're still challenged. Someone will ask from among us, did you get that from the scholar? Why would I need a scholar if I got Allah? That don't mean I don't appreciate a scholar. I'm an imam. I don't think everybody got to listen to what I say, but I would like to think I could prick a nerve, so to speak, to just give some thought, for somebody to give some thought to it. I say, I've never heard nobody say it before. I'm not saying nobody didn't, but I never heard it. But I've been saying for a long time, descendants of slaves. That's us. There's nobody else in America that can fulfill that role or have fulfilled that role besides us. And in that, every detriment that could have came along with being a slave lays there in the records for us, telling us what the problem was. In that problem, if you look close enough, we will see why many times we'll ask someone else about the same information we can get for ourselves from Allah studying the Quran, even for those who study the Bible. There's key pieces in there. But we'll ask somebody else we don't even trust. Some of us, now I ain't talking about me. I'm talking about some of us. Don't trust the judgment of our own mind when we read something about the Lord of the Worlds. Did the scholar say something? Did the sheikh say something? No, Allah said something to you when you read it. If he said, be upright, why you need a scholar to tell you about that? Just think about your life. What God gives to each individual the ability to see, is he earning paradise or is he earning the hellfire? If there's an atrocity, small or great, that touched you today, Allah allows you to look into your own life and see what it is and do something about it. You better than anybody walking the earth know whether or not you are a good person or a bad person, whether you're a thief, whether you're a liar, whether you're truthful, whether you're honest. Deceit works like that. It's almost like a safe. And all of us carries our personal safe. Allah has a monitor on us, though, and the monitor can't change us one way or the other. Okay. We're told we have two angels with us, one writing down all the bad deeds and one writing down all the good deeds. And angels don't make a mistake, but look what Allah did there. He put one on the right and one on the left. He said, write down what I tell you to write down. You write down everything negative, and you write down everything positive. And the angels can't change that, don't want to change it at all. It ain't like the society of man. Society of man can become angelic to a degree or devilish to a degree. You know, we've heard of people taking your information and writing checks, emptying your account because they was angelic. I can trust them. They're honest. Your paperwork and became devilish and took everything out your checking account. So my point in that, I'm saying that when we read the word of God to the best of our ability from the Bible, from the Torah, the New or Old Testament, or if you're brave enough, if you're not Muslim yet, but you're brave enough to read a Quran. And I say brave enough because I know there's some Christians who's scared to read it. I ain't scared to read nothing. One thing I can say for sure, at my age, I've never looked into a smut book. There was a white friend of mine in Vietnam. He used to have smut hanging all over his tent inside. I'd keep my back to it. He said, man, come on, man. Just look at it. For what? If it ain't real, what? I don't even get a feel for it. But he tried the whole year to get me to just break down and look at something with him. And I said, no, that's not, you know, that's not for me. And that wasn't just the Islam working for me, reading the Quran or reading the Bible or going to the one time to the temple, reading How to Eat to Live, Message of Black Man. That was working in me. But that which I had, that condition, that was from my father. That's me watching my dad the way he did things, and I picked up those same morals. Now, I'm not saying he ain't never did nothing bad. I don't know. I never, in the years that I lived while he lived, I never seen it. Somebody might can come and tell me a story that I say, I can't believe that. But if they tell me it's theirs, he's dead. I can't check it. And if it's really on his record, I pray to Allah that Allah will forgive him and give him paradise. I'd like to see my father in paradise, my mother in paradise. But to do that, they have had to have some good, and I know a lot of good that they did. You know what I mean? So here it is my turn. Brother James' turn, Brother Nate's turn, my wife's turn. It's our turn. We're living now. And we have to look at the world with Allah's vision, if I can say it that way. We can't see everything he sees, but what he allows us to see by looking at him to see with. Here's the Lord of the world tell us don't do certain things. Muslims come to America, and they look for bait, so to speak, to get with them, to land in some of our masjids, and kind of lead them. That's not what the Prophet told them to do. Prophet Muhammad, prayers and peace be upon him, told us how to do it when we're the guests and how to do it when we're the hosts. He did it in Medina. Wasn't yet Medina, was working his way to Medina, me and Medina, called Medina. There were people who came from Becca who knew him before he left Becca, knew him all his life. But he had spent some years now in Yatridge. That's Becca, today's Mecca, Yatridge, today's Medina. And when he put them together, he told them to take hands, shake hands, and learn each other as brothers and bring each other's strength to each other. And where one had no more leverage on the other, but the guests, he said, you are the muhajir. You're the traveler. Don't come acting like you're the lead. And see those that are here, the Ansars, as your hosts. That's supposed to happen right here today. But too many of our miss the mark African-American friends and people always want to put somebody else over us to make you think you got more. You can't put nobody over you because they can't do no more. Right now we got people claiming they came from overseas and brought Islam here. No. Don't be a liar. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad. There were people around him who could have shared something. Maybe Noble Drew Ali knew something. These were African Americans also. But the ones stood upon Islam to say it was the way, the course of travel for us was the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. In 1930, when Farad Muhammad left him in charge. He was the chief minister of information that he didn't learn in school, but he learned from the new teacher he got, Farhad Muhammad. And he was able to take Farhad Muhammad's message and confirm it, but he confirmed it with, take God's word and do something for self. Do for self. And much that he did, still too many of us didn't see enough. Too many have walked away like maybe he didn't give us Islam. What is wrong with you? Are you crazy? And like I said, I know better because my story is simple. I was invited to the temple. I was asked to join. I couldn't join because I was in the military. I asked for some reading material. They pulled out some books. I wasn't asking for books.
Mm-hmm.
I was asking for some flyers just so maybe I can check you out on at some time later. They pulled out the Maulana Muhammad Ali Quran, translated it in English as well as the Arabic. How Deep to Live, Message to the Black Man. I brought the three books. I took the three books, the Bible and the dictionary with me, and I studied. So nobody could tell me that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad wasn't teaching people, and particularly me, I can bear witness for me, wasn't teaching people who Allah was. Because I got the Quran from his temple. I couldn't read Arabic then, but it was in English. And there was nothing in there that says God is fraud. Matter of fact, I didn't see that in How to Eat the Liver Message to the Black Man. I seen where he called him a master teacher.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he used the term master,
mm-hmm.
but not like a slave master, like a teacher, educator.
Mm-hmm.
And he took that message to give to us in the same way. So I had that one message from his temple. Minister Nello was teaching there in Philadelphia, here in Philadelphia, back then. And then from there, like I say, going to Vietnam, I read the Quran three, maybe four times in a year, cover to cover.
Mm-hmm.
That means I read the footnotes, I read everything. Everything on the page, I took it with me. Then I did the same thing with the Bible, three to four times within that year. And being at the, compared to the pages of the Bible and the Quran, How to Eat to Live and Message of Black Men was so thin, I read them at least four times a month. Probably read them from cover to cover once a week. And reading at that time was my hobby, my pastime. So every time I wasn't shooting at somebody or they wasn't shooting at me, I was reading. And I didn't see anything that led me to believe man is God. When I got home, and I joined 4 days after I got home. I got back in Philadelphia July 14, 1969, after arriving back in America July 10, 1969. Went to Seattle, Washington when I got in. So July 18th, I was on my way to joining the temple. And my mind was set. That's where I wanted to be. But I already got it in and out by reading the leader's reading material, the two books, How to Eat to Live, Message to the Black Man. But more importantly, the Bible I knew from my father reading to me all the time, and I continued to read it. But I also got an addition by reading the Quran, a book I never heard of before. Late May, early June, whenever that was, my cousin told me to go visit the temple. Never heard the word. When I was younger, a teenager, I heard something like Salaki Salaki. And when I asked the brother, what did he say? He said, Salami Salami.
That's what we used to get, Salami.
Yeah, Salami Salami. Never forget the brother named Leon. I stepped out the door because I was inquisitive. I wanted to know.
Yeah.
What'd you say, brother? I knew it wasn't a curse word. It didn't come across as a curse word anywhere. I didn't know what it was, had anything to do with God or anybody, any person or whatever. I didn't know. And I stepped out the building. It was only two doors, three at the most from the corner, 11th and South here in Philadelphia. And I went to the corner and I looked to my right and I looked, of course, as I was walking down the street, I was looking straight ahead to see if he was walking straight down South Street going towards 10th. I didn't see him. When I got to 11th, I looked to the right. I didn't see him on 11th. I looked across the street. I looked at cars to see if somebody was sitting in the driver's seat, passenger, whatever. I looked to the left. The person really didn't have time to get across the street going northward. But I looked, because they would have had to cross traffic and then walk across. And I didn't see him. It was like he disappeared. No trolley. The trolley was normally running. It wasn't running then. And I said, man, what did he say? And when I went back in, when I went back in, he said, it sounded like salami, salami. he said salami to salami the first time, but when he repeated, he added, sound like salami, salami. I said, you ever seen them before? He said, no. You know what I mean? So that was my first time ever hearing something that I could connect later on, because I almost believe the brother that I became close with, we became close with years later, looked like the brother that walked past Satan that disappeared that particular day. But my point there is nothing was given to me direct in America while I was in America to question one way or the other, is this man, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, giving us a man for God or giving us God as God? And I say he gave us God. He gave us Allah. He gave us the Quran. And I read it. And when I joined, now that was 1 year that I'm going to Vietnam. 60, I'm come, you know, 68, 69. I come home. I'm joining. I'm in orientation class before the year is out in 69. And like I said, this brother Abdullah Shah, one of the lieutenants, took a liking to me and taught me Arabic.
Mm.
Arabic in religion, Arabic in prayer, taught me how to do all the prayers, meaning that you know the rakats, you know the ones that got sunnahs with it and those that don't. You know the ones that said aloud and the ones that are said silent. He taught me all that. He taught me the difference between the adhan and the iqama. Yeah, he gave it to me. By the time we graduated out of the class, even though I didn't belong in that class, but they didn't have another class to put me in, I was the valedictorian. And in that being the valedictorian, I had to demonstrate in Arabic and in English, starting with the sujood, the rug, the prayer rug, putting it down and telling them that's what it is. And like I said before, Jeremiah, Minister Jeremiah, a good friend of mine, I wish people would have worked to bring him back in, and I pray Allah forgive him his shortcomings, have mercy on him.
Right.
There was a number of people know for a fact he was a hard worker.
Mm-hmm.
He loved the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. He was dedicated.
That's right.
And he brought business and success to the city. Well, some corruption got in, but trust me, I know from the horse's mouth that corruption was taken to him. He shouldn't have accepted it, but that corruption was taken to him from some very good soldiers here in Philly who lost their way. May Allah forgive all of them.
Right.
May Allah's mercy be with them, and may he forgive them and give them paradise. So let Brother James bring some information to us. I sound like we'll get back in a minute.
Thank you, Brother.
Join us daily from 6 to 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for excuse me, I'm moving a little. Y'all, apologize to the audience. I'm moving a little too fast here, but nature slowed me down. I'm gonna read from the 59th Surah of the Quran, Al Hasha, or the Mushroom. In the name of Allah, most gracious, most merciful. Whatever is in the heavens and on earth, let it declare the praises and glory of Allah, for He is the exalted in might, the wise. It is he who got out the unbelievers among the people of the book from their homes at the first gathering of the forces. Little did ye think that they would get out, and they thought that their fortresses would defend them from Allah. But the wrath of Allah came to them from quarters from which they little expected it, and cast terror into their hearts, so that they destroyed their dwellings by their own hand, in the hands of the believers. Take warning then, O ye with eyes to see. Join us daily from 6 to 7 p.m. for an edition of the Halal Industry Do For Self with your host, Imam Wale Ayub Bilal, President, Founder, and CEO of Bilal Inc., and co-hosts James Bashir and Nate Muhammad. The interest of Bilal Inc. is to establish economics for the African-American people, descendants of the slaves of America. This program is to encourage people to unite and to build economic strength, to establish community life by doing for self, to build the model community. connect at am360.org and 24-hour streaming at 701-719-4197. Call in live to speak to the host at 515-605-9891 or 425-292-4253. Info at cwsc.us, tweet at cwshuraa, email us at info at cwsc.us, visit am360.org, Pan Corporation Community-Wide Shore Conference at cwsc.us, or leave a listener comment at 910-317-0297. For those who would like to ask a question or make a comment, you can call 267-385-0259. Again, that's 267-385-0259.
Yes, Brother Jane, thank you. Name Muhammad here. Hello, industry do for sale. I just want to clarify, too, and just to support James, and that phone number, area code, 267-385-0259. Again, 267-385-0259. If you have any questions, comments, suggestions, feel free to give us a call, and we'll put you right on mic, right on with the mic, with the host. Yeah, move on with comments about what the man is has mentioned. And mom will be around that camaraderie among each other. We want to unite the African-American descendants of slaves. We have to build a camaraderie. Be able to trust each other, to feel comfortable around each other, where we can be able to discuss anything. You don't have to wait for nothing to happen, and then you got to sit down here and like you in the third degree. No, we do it sincerely, humble. You know, I go all the way back. I was thinking about the gangs, but I go beyond that. We was in elementary school with some brothers that we was in our class, and we all lived in different areas, and we made a bond with each other that whatever game we be in, we'll never come against each other. And I remember that, you know, and I'm sitting there and I'm thinking about, and then we wind up in the game, and it happened to me not once, twice. One time I stopped it, one time they stopped it. They went back to that bond that we made as friends. And we youngsters, we didn't know what that was. But we had a friendship that we didn't know how great that was. I look back at it today. We was in the media. We was born to be like that. That was our part of our journey. And when we seen each other, we reflect about that experience, and that's noble, that's honorable. And then when we got to the Nation of Islam, I'm still that man. We still had a bond, had a crew that we always went, and we did things under Imam Muhammad. We had a crew that we always did things together. We had a bond. We always built a camaraderie with us because we knew that protect us. Matter of fact, some brothers had said, man, that's how I overcame my whatever problem is yet, by seeing us walking up with each other. Mm-hmm. And that just reminds us about the bond. And we want that bond to continue, not only in the community, because we have to go. We have to go deal with our youth. We have to go reach out and grab them to take back our community. But we're going to have to clean them up first. We have to get their attention first. Right now, the society, the streets, whatnot, has their attention to go in and jump in to get that. We was in a situation where it was perfect. Allah presented a way to us. And then it's like we don't know what's going to happen, but all we can do is all we're responsible is how we deal with it. Mm-hmm. We don't have no control of what's happening. All we can do is how we did. We charge with how we deal with it. I said in that manner, and we dealt with it, you know, the way the law say deal with it. Be humble. Be direct, but be humble. And everybody got the point across where they knew what you was talking about.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the greatest thing about it is that everybody understands what we've been talking about all the time. We sit there, let's talk, let's put our mind together, let's sit down and deal with our situation. That was a little problem. The person explained their situation. We told them about our situation. This is it's really mutual respect for each other,
mm-hmm.
Not thinking you're better than nobody, not thinking that you don't have no care of something for nobody. We all have care for our people. Our people always cared about us. I remember we selling papers and all that. People was drunk. Hey, bro, how you doing? I said, can I get a paper? I ain't giving you nothing. And I would say, I ain't giving you nothing. Okay, you get sober a little bit. I'll see you tomorrow. I'll give you one. All right. But the people was always warm. Our people is warm-hearted people, period. It's just that we have to bring it out of us. The society, that journey we have been through as a people, really left a bad taste in our mouth.
Mm-hmm.
And we have to learn how to accept our people first, not by what we see, it's by what we know.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to be a little patient with our people. And, you know, we're going to be tested with this. I know that. There's no doubt in my mind. But we are getting a basic approach how we can deal with it. And it works. We leave with what the law says. It works. I'm not even going to have self-doubt about it. It works. We already seen what man did, and we know it didn't work. So I know I'm not doing what man said or did. We're going to do what the law says. That put us in the best position to get our point across and establish our criteria. This is only a continuation from the pattern that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, Imam Muhammad, taught us. May Allah be pleased with both of them. We're only on that same path. We just get right on that little, how they used to say, the midnight train, the gravy train, the whatever. That's the path. That's the way we go. And we ain't got to sit back there and worry about what people say or whether they're receptive or rejected, their action will determine that. Not we can't sit back and, oh, man, how you sound? Boy, you got that right across to him, man. I don't need that. I need results. I need results about what you do. That will tell me that we got our point across. We've been wrestling with the halal industry, do for self, for a long time. And it's time that it all become to the forefront to show what we know. You don't know nothing if you can't show it. That's only half of it. I can talk all I want, but if you don't have nothing to back it up, it don't mean a thing. You know, so that's what our objective is. And Allah is sending people to us every day that we can clarify and strengthen our position. And that you could call that establish more confidence with you.
Mm-hmm.
But after a while, it just become part of you. You just being yourself, you know, and you just sit up, oh, man. You know, I be thinking about, man, what? He said what? Yeah, the effect sometimes you have on people. This is good because we need that. We need that. We need the people to come and feel comfortable around us, to sit down, and we ain't forcing nothing on them because you done almost mastered the skill of no compulsion. You can't force nothing on nobody. They don't want to do it. You can't make them do it. You know, you can ask them. You can tell them. I remember I was up in the mountains with the I don't call hillbillies, but they highlanders. People couldn't figure out How did you get these people to do things? Well, what did you do? I asked them. Huh? That's all? Yeah, I just asked. But I didn't tell them before I asked them. I came up and told them that this is your area. You get all the benefits in your area. Whatever we got, you're supposed to get. And they sat there and they looked. And then once we revised the way to how they do a lot of hunting up there, how they can maneuver through the hunting season and get paid. I showed them how we can do it. Told them that you work 10 hours a day. That extra 2 hours we'll put on for your paycheck for the 2 weeks you take off. And after we did all that, the 2 weeks came, they went hunting. And they got paid for going hunting because that's like a holiday up there. And they really came. They thanked me. Man, we were trying to figure out how we're going to get paid and go hunting too. You solved it, you know. So then there, whatever I asked them, they did. I didn't tell the people what I did. That was among us. That's why I knew how to build a camaraderie with people. Well, I don't care what complexion they were. If you fair to him, he gonna be fair back to you. Any man, because that's the natural order among men. How you deal with men. That's what we did. And the same thing, we still have that same trace in everything that we're doing today. Man. Dealing with men. We always want to build the brotherhood up, the men up. Because they're the legs of the society. They're the ones that's going to build our community. They're the ones going to be instrumental in establishing the do-for-self, the businesses. They're the ones that establish it. And they support each other. It's like a circle, and all the money goes around in that same circle. We don't go outside that circle. Next you know, we don't establish businesses. Well, and then now we're ready for the model community because we're walking into the community with business always self-sufficient, everybody working in harmony. Can't ask for nothing better than that. But that's our vision. That's why I said this is our vision. But we're working to bring it to the surface. And it's really already there. We just haven't caught up with it. When the law presented, we're there. The doors will open, you know, and we can sit back and execute what we had established.
Amen.
So I'm looking forward to that. Again, we want to always build to establish the unification. Because once we get our structure together and we put it in effect, mm-hmm. the people don't have no choice but to follow. You know, and nobody making them. And that's the key. Nobody will be making them. All they can do is act. And another thing, too, come to front, the word to the right. That's another thing. Always give a word to the right to the people.
I mean,
you know, say to it, why are you doing that? Don't do that, man. You know, with the repercussions of all that. Yeah, you're right. You don't have to make a scene, big scene, or all that. You just tell them. You know, you use your mind. You don't make no noise. You appeal to people, their intelligence. You don't make no noise. You don't have to go give grandstand, give a show and dance, entertain them. You just tell them. You don't have to pull them aside, buzz them in the ear. Nah, man, get out of here. Don't do that.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And a lot of times, if they're wrong, they appreciate it because only you and I knew that. But you're going to hold them hostage to it. You're just being fair. Yeah, I didn't really know that's what I was doing back then because I was just being myself. But come the full circle with this, man, we was doing what I say all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, just by and he prepared you to deal with this season, to deal with life from your journey. Everybody's different. Everybody has their own journey, but we have the same image. Same attitude. Oh, y'all was how you say, Brother Imam, how the Imam said, you never change. You're always the same.
Always the same. That's
right.
Compliment. Great compliment.
That's a compliment. Yeah. You know, and that's a compliment coming from another man to another, from another. That's what we don't need nobody to put you on a pedestal and blow you up. We don't need that. We need just stay humble.
Mm-hmm.
Just stay humble. That same approach how I approach you, that's how you need to approach me. Yeah, I'm humble. I ain't come arguing with you. You know what I mean? I ain't come mad at you. Like that's another thing. We had another thing with the brothers. The guys used to be running around here with the rough face, tough face, and things of that nature. And we used to always say, yeah, this guy, he's either mad at the world or he's faking. And we would do certain little things just to see if he was faking.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and if he was mad at the world, we would tell him, man, nah, man, you got to go look this world and see how you can fix that.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
And that's how we dealt with each other. These are guys. These men. The only thing man can be upset because if his mind messed up, he's messed up. Mm-hmm. Now we sit here and say that, no, you got to give your heart, your sincere to Allah. Not your mind, your heart. That's what's stopping everything from moving that way. But you have to clarify what's in your mind in order to give your heart. You just ain't going to give your heart a GP because your mind protects your heart. Then once your heart, once you get the clarification of your mind, it's easy to give your heart. So this is why we sit here and we come here 7 days a week, gabberating on establishing the halal industry.
Amen.
To do for self.
Amen.
To build that model community, African-American descendants of slaves.
Mm-hmm.
This is why we ain't doing this because we like to talk. I'm not a real talker. I never took myself to be a real talker.
Mm-hmm.
You know, thinker, yeah, but not talker. But see, then now this is another thing for me.
Come on,
this is another stage that is, I guess, growth and development. And again, all we doing is sharing what we know, showing what we know. That's all this is. I mean, I already went through knowing this and knowing that. Now we have to share it. So I'm going to get on out of here right now. We'll leave the mic back over to you, man, Bilal. And this is Nate Muhammad, the Halal Industry, Do For Self. And if anybody have any questions, feel free to call, dial, area code 267-385-0259, 267-385-0259. As-salamu alaykum.
Wa alaykum as-salam. Thank you, Brother Nate. Once again, this is Imam Wali Ayub Bilal, the Halal Industry, Do For Self. And as we like to continue, what are we talking about? We're talking about making 2024 different.
That's right.
You know, we've gone through what we've gone through with the property, et cetera, the lending institutions. We haven't really been in their arm. The city have done things over this period of time that we couldn't jump in that place until the city stopped doing what they're doing. We're pretty much getting them at bay,
mm-hmm.
that they can see the errors are theirs. And we work it to open the door. Once we open the door, once we build, then we plan to establish the beginning of the halal industry in the form of a manufacturing plant industry. What we need more than anything as a people is industry, our own industry. Not just go work in a factory. We need our own. We need to own the factories, yes. So we asking you. We're asking you because as we build industry, it builds jobs, it builds economics, it builds a flow of things. But one of the things we want to come together across this country and do is establish the model community.
Mm-hmm.
Imam Muhammad said the model community. Put me in a good place, he said. What that mean? Do good through his recommendation. And even though he's not here, Allah bless him with gifts from us.
That's right.
We deserve the success of industry, but he deserved the success of sharing his information to get us to see industry, see us, see ourselves in a model community. And it trickles back to the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. There's some people, they can't help themselves. They want to frown upon the success of the Islam established in America through the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. If we don't see it, but if you see it and just want to deny it, you're denying Allah. Why would somebody want to say, I mean, who do you know? I'm in my home every day with my wife. I still see my children. Everybody's married and out on their own. But the only entity that know each of us is Allah. So if Allah established the life of Islam to come to America through a man that was born in 1897 with a third grade education. I like to say that because I don't think that resonates enough with people. You saying he didn't get this from God? Regardless of his strategy of laying it out, the success that came through the Nation of Islam and continue. No, we're not called the Nation of Islam today. But when I speak to Minister Farrakhan's people, and I hope he be successful to get back on the right track, but when I speak to their people and they tell me they're the Nation of Islam, I have to tell them, no, sir. I'm the Nation of Islam. You wasn't around in the Nation of Islam. I know a few people were, but it's just that, a few people, a handful. I lived in the Nation of Islam. James, Nate, we all lived in that. We lived in the time that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad was teaching. We had faith in what Allah gave him. We build, we walk, the Muhammad speaks through the streets. We did things in our neighborhoods.
Right.
Caring for ourselves as a people, and it was very successful around this country. It got accolades from overseas and everything. But overseas, they were still kind of worried, will we become the leaders for the people? Because the prophet said that one day, the raisin head, speaking about the way our hair curls up. He didn't call us peasy head. He said raisin head.
That's a good name, too.
Yeah, it's a good name. But the raisin head will one day be the leaders of humanity to what is right. You see the blessings that we can get? We're going to get them, those who stand for it. But we are at a time that is for us to unite and just work on making sure the world we live in is a good world for us, for our children, for our future. We're talking about getting everything wrong out of it. If it's around us, it can't be done. But at the same time, we're talking about a world that yields to us and fulfills the needs that we have. We need model communities where we build homes. And as I stated, yeah, we're looking still for people when we do the Zoom. Allah willing, we'll be doing the Zoom before the middle of October. May still do something this month. But before the middle or right around that time of October, we plan to do the Zoom for the model community. And in that, we're asking you to look at yourself. If you hear this or you can tell somebody else in your family, whatever, look at yourself. What do you do? And bring that talent forward. And when I say bring the talent forward, just say you got 10 talents, 10 different talents that it will take to build a model community. Which one are you? In the first, second, third, fourth, all the way to the 10th. If you're in there, we want that body that got the same type talent to come together and be representatives for the convention or any style agreement that we work to get across this country to begin building the model community. We need speakers speaking from their talent. We need leaders leading from their talent. We don't want nobody to go just read a book and see how to put something together and do it. If you don't have the experience in it, learn with the group rather than trying to lead the group. But we are seriously asking, and that information could be submitted to myself. I'm Imam Wali Ayub Bilal. My email is thinkhalal, like you're thinking. Thinkhalal, H-A-L-A-L, thinkbilal, my last name, be like brother, I-L-A-L, @yahoo.com. My number, if you needed it, 267-515-3269. And you also can reach Sister Martha Abdullah of Community-Wide Shura Conference. She's the main person from the body of the Community-Wide Shura Conference that will be working on setting the Zoom up. But we need a Zoom just to put together what we're going to do at a convention. The convention might easily be 3 days, but could be a week. Maybe a week straight could work. Maybe it'd be 2 weekends in a row. But we need to talk to major crowds across the country. And we need more than one person presenting it.
Mm-hmm.
We need it to be presented from each talent. One major talent, architect. We need a group of architect people, people that do architectural work. Engineers, we need a body of people who do engineering for building, developing. A community. We say a model community. We need real estate people. Real estate people know how to find land, property, whatever we may need. We need a number. We need people that knows environmental things such as earth. Can you live on this piece of earth, or is it having something beneath it that would be detrimental to anyone living there? So we know not to get that kind of land. There's some people could tell us this is healthy land right here for us to build on. If we wanted to do a farm there, it's healthy to grow crop and trees and graze cattle, lamb, goat, feed chickens, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. All of those things mean something. But we have to be the ones that come together with our time, be willing. I can't make you. I'm saying it in a way to project that, yes, we need you. I don't know you. I don't have to know you. We want to do Shura Bainahum. Some imam had put before us, promoted, and wanted us to learn the etiquette of it and do it. In that, there's no boss. We all respect who's talking, but in it is, what do you think? Let's boss together by respecting each other, hearing what do you see. If we're talking about a design, let's see the design you think. And why? And let's see the one you think, and why, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But we need to build the leadership body that will help produce it in order to talk to the people that we want to be involved. As I say sometimes, we want to get 1,000 acres of land. That's 1,000 acres. If we're building single homes, we might want to put a one house on every acre. Or we might want to put 2, 3, 4 on every acre, 10 on every acre. We might want to do apartment buildings on every acre. But we need those of us that's looking at it to see what would be the best benefit, benefit best from it collectively, and come together on a decision, come together on a drawing. And now let's work to get the money. Halal's Inc., the halal industry. We've been rumbling with the city, not direct, but they play like they don't know what's going on and is happening in their office. So things seem to be opening up a little bit. Prayerfully, we'll get this building operating sometimes during the 2024. May be completed by that time. Everything might be kicked in by that time. But we would like to be known as one of the entities put forth wealth, economics, to build what we need. It ain't going to need crumbs. It's going to need sizable amounts of money. We believe with Bilal's Inc., the halal industry, opening our processing plant, selling halal beef, lamb, goat, chicken, turkey across this country, we'll have the wealth to build in any city we want to build in. But we need to come together and talk about it, design the city. Let it be a national effort that we're doing things. So I'm going to give the mic back so Brother James can have the last few moments with PSAs. As-salamu alaykum.
Thank you, Brother. Man.
Yes, sir.
As-salamu alaykum.
Yes, sir. Walaykum as-salam.
Join us daily from 6 to 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for an edition of the Halal Industry Do For Self with your host, the Imam Wale Ayub Bilal, President, Founder, and CEO of Bilal's Inc., and co-hosts James Bashir and Nate Muhammad. The entrance of Bilal's Inc. is to establish economics for the African-American people, descendants of the slaves of America. This program is to encourage people to unite and to build economic strength to establish community life by doing it for self to build the model community. Connect at am360.org, 24-hour streaming at 701-719-4197. Call and live to speak to the host at 515-605-9891 or 425-292-4253. And again, we'd like to thank everyone for joining in the program this evening. And inshallah, we'll talk tomorrow. As-salamu alaykum.
Thank you,
You can always hang it.